Not everybody listening to me now has the good fortune to be celebrating Christmas. Some choose not to because it's not part of their cultural or religious tradition. Some would like to, but they are in, for whatever reason, a state of loneliness. They don't have family around. Perhaps they're estranged from family for whatever reason. And they might be celebrating or not celebrating Christmas. They might be enduring Christmas alone. And some people will be celebrating Christmas, but they won't have much money to do so. But I suspect a goodly proportion of the people listening to me now will at least once over the period Christmas Eve, Christmas lunch, Christmas supper, Boxing Day, which follows Christmas, at least once, if not more than once, during that time we'll be having a really solid pig out kind of a meal. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not being critical. I'll be in exactly that position. I've got a Christmas Eve and a Christmas lunch and then also a Boxing Day, a day of goodwill celebration. So there's going to be a lot of food on those three tables. But I just hope that at some point we stop and consider our good fortune, that we are able to have one or two, as in my case, three meals with groaning tables. Because that is not the lot of everybody. And the carpenter's shop, which as of the beginning of next year is going to be called the Hope Exchange, does remarkable work in feeding people throughout, homeless people in the Cape Town area throughout the year. But they take a break between the 18th of December and the 13th of January. And stepping into the breach is an organization called, well, if do I have it right, Janet Chadwick? Is it a new organization or a different organization? But there's a different process.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on your show. It's slightly different. The carpenter shop works on a number of basic services, and one of the organizations, which is the service dining room, will they provide us with tokens for sit-down meals. So they normally do the feeding throughout the year, and the service dining room will shut down from the 14th of December to the 14th of January. Sorry, I'm a little bit breathless. I got very excited. So basically, while they shut down for this for their annual break, we will be feeding the homeless people in their stead.
We are?
The carpenter's shop, which will be the Hope Exchange.
Okay, so you're taking over completely a job that you're normally just sort of peripheral to, in a way.
Yes. Our main functions are on ablutions and basic services so that we can provide points of contact for our social care workers. So we aim to reintegrate and reunite our clients with their families and reintegrate them into society. But it's really difficult to do that with hungry people.
And with the provision of food not being a core responsibility of yours, is it difficult to scale up? And how many people are you feeding?
Well, last year we fed about 200 to 250 people a day. We're in the fortunate position where we are in partnership with a number of nonprofits. So we have Pat from RPJ Helping Hands, who's taken over a few days as well. She comes in normally on a Sunday and a Thursday, so she does it regularly. And so she'll be taking a few days. And then Danny from Ladles of Love is doing Wednesdays and Fridays every week through the project, but he also comes on a Saturday normally. And also just, we're quite lucky in that I'm actually a qualified chef, and so is another member of our staff. So we're okay with upscaling.
Oh, great. And I mean, how is the food provided during the year, and does that continue in terms of the ingredients which then are prepared in some way or another?
So we do offer some feeding. We partner with RPJ during the year. And we will do a porridge on a Thursday, and we'll help them. So whenever we receive ingredients, it doesn't go to waste. We'll either use it with our Jeff Burton House residents, they stay on site, or otherwise we'll give it to our partnering organizations. But during the year, normally we hand the feeding over to the service dining room.
Okay. And I was thinking more in terms of ingredients. Do you have those donated, and do those donations continue during this period?
Yes. Yes. So what happens is actually most of our food donations go. They normally go to the service dining room because it's their main focus. So we receive donations more like toiletries during the year, but we do receive a lot of donations during this time. So we've approached a number of organizations in the area. We have restaurants getting involved. We have boutique hotels getting involved and taking on days. So what I've tried to do is to avoid having to cook 8 days in a row of meals for 250 to 300 people, we've outsourced that and we've gotten people involved so that it might be nothing for them to do one day, or it might be a little task, but it's not a mammoth task for us to do 8 days in a row.
It's fantastic that you, or maybe you do struggle to find these people, but it sounds as if the will to get involved and the will to make a difference is there and relatively easy to find.
Yes, I think we ran this program last year, and it was amazing because it generates such a fantastic vibe of goodwill. And I think a lot of the people that got involved, we rallied a lot of help from individuals and their organizations as well, and a lot of donations. And it was a fantastic just atmosphere of fun and involvement and engagement. And I think this is one of the things that we lack as a society. We tend not to get involved with things that aren't necessarily our direct business. And we tend to apply that in social areas as well. So we don't like to talk with those people on the street, but it's something that actually is quite a life-changing experience to get to know other people who aren't in your socioeconomic status, and get to know them in a very honest and open way, and over food. It's always good.
Is that how did you get involved? It sounds as if you're involved pretty much full-time now.
Yes. So I was involved on an administrative level, and now I'm involved with the marketing and fundraising because I think they realize I'm quite passionate about helping the people. So it's quite difficult sometimes to get people involved, but I think it's mainly because of an awareness thing. So we're working on that now. We're trying to, and thanks to you as well for this, because we're trying to get people aware of what we do, because also, with our name having been the Carpenter's Shop, it's quite difficult to, when you introduce yourself, you almost always have to say, but we don't actually do carpentry anymore. We focus on showers and accommodation and things like that.
And do you need anything for this period? I mean, if somebody's listening from one of the major retail chains, or somebody who likes to give back over Christmas, somebody who recognizes his or her good fortune in having a decent job and a reasonable income and a loving family to be with, and would like to give something back, what, if anything, do you need?
Oh, we need lots of things. We, from an individual perspective, so we would love people to get involved by helping or donating. If you want to know how to donate, you can go to our website, which is www.tcs.org.za. And if you want to know anyway, we welcome all sorts of engagement, because I'd love to get people to know more about us. So if you go on the website, it'll tell you many ways you can give, including in-kind donations, toiletries, clothing, especially men's clothing. And for this project specifically, we would love financial donations.